Welcome to The Ed Show. I'm Simon Perryman, and I have a great speaker today here who covers quite a lot of the different systems center technologies. Vijay Tiwari, why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure, my name is Vijay Tiwari. I'm the group program manager responsible for System Center Virtual Machine Manager. But right now I'm driving all up System Center 2012 SP1.
Well, SP1, I've heard a lot of talk about this recently. We've just released System Center 2012 RTM. Why are we coming out with a Service Pack 1 so quick?
Well, the most important thing for us is to make sure that we support the latest operating system out there. We've just released the RC version of Windows Server 2012. And as people know, System Center 2012 did not support Windows Server 2012. So the SP1 release of System Center 2012 will support Windows Server 2012.
Okay, great. So really, it's the enhancement to take advantage of all these new features in Server 2012.
Exactly. As you saw in the keynote this morning, there are a whole plethora of features that are coming down in Windows Server. And we want to make sure that our customers get the benefit of all of them in a fully managed environment.
So give us a brief overview, you know, with some of the different system set to components. What are some of the new capabilities, new features that we've been exposing?
So when we went back, when we planned for sort of Windows Server 2012, at that time, you know, one of the key sort of tenets of the customer that we were going after were we wanted to ensure that our service providers are in a position to provide an infrastructure as a service-based cloud. We offer self-service multi-tenancy. We offer the ability for customers to be able to virtualize any workload. And we want the ability to provide customers the ability to move their workloads into Windows Azure should they desire to. And so along these four vectors, we have made investments in System Center 2012 SP1 to highlight and to sort of manage the capabilities that are coming in Windows Server 2012.
So let's start with the multi-tenancy. You know, hosting providers, they're popular. They want these capabilities to really be able to carve out specific environments. How have we made this even better?
So with multi-tenancy, you know, we obviously have multi-tenancy from a compute standpoint available in the context of a VM. A VM from one customer and a VM from a different customer, you know, they are two different entities and therefore they're isolated from a compute standpoint. One of the places where customers still want to make sure that they actually have isolation is on the network side. So they want to ensure that a network which is provisioned for customer Blue is only able to communicate with VMs from customer Blue. Whereas a customer Red should not be able to send and receive messages from customer Blue unless defined by policy. With Windows Server 2012 and the advent of Hyper-V network virtualization, we now have the ability to actually define these isolated networks using software. And we're using a term loosely called software-defined networks, which allows us to actually create these networks on the fly, giving these data center administrators the flexibility and the service providers the flexibility and agility to spin up these networks on the fly, on demand, for their customers and being isolated from a networking standpoint.
So how is this different from VLANs and VLAN tagging that we have today?
I think VLAN is a great solution, but it tends to be slightly static. In so far, it takes a little longer to actually configure. There is also a scale limit that comes into play with VLANs. In theory, you should be able to provision up to 4,095 VLANs inside a data center. But in reality, when you go talk to networking administrators, you know, upwards of 1,500 VLANs, you start to run into scale issues with the networking infrastructure. By being able to actually have a flat layer 2 network inside the data center, but subsequently create these isolated networks on the fly using Windows Hyper-V network virtualization, you have far more scalability and resiliency to be able to scale this out from a service provider standpoint, as well as from enterprise customers who are dealing with multiple tenants, you know, multiple business units who want to have isolation from each other. So I think it's a great capability that we're going to give to our customers.
Well, you keep saying that you could create them on the fly. What exactly does that mean? What type of experience is that?
So System Center 2012 SP1, the virtual machine manager component, is what you would use to actually author these software-defined networks. In 2012, System Center 2012, we already introduced the concept of a cloud and strong tenancy using user roles. What you can now do in System Center Virtual Machine Manager with SP1 is that you'll be able to create these networks, we call them VM networks, on the fly, and so a customer can create these networks based on the tenants that are being onboarded to their environment without having to go back and forth and configure the networking infrastructure itself. So it's available via a programmatic API. So you just make a call and you create a VM network, and then subsequently you can bind a VM to that VM network and be assured of the isolation.
Very nice. So VMM 2012, can it now take advantage of all the Hyper-V extensible switch capabilities that are coming out in 3.0?
2012 SP1, yes.
SP1, of course.
You correct what I said about SP1. Yes, absolutely. I think absolutely. And in fact, we worked a lot with external partners, and it's incredibly exciting. Just yesterday, we were able to onboard two different partners as switch extensions into Windows Server 2012. A partner, Cisco, with the 1000 vSwitch, as well as Inmon, they've got an S-Flow provider, which we've onboarded. So once you build a provider as a third party, and we can deploy it from VMM across multiple hosts, and then you can manage that provider switch extensions in a contiguous manner. In fact, one of the things that we've done is that as the Hyper-V switch has become richer and richer, there is a lot of policy and configuration that needs to go across on the Hyper-V switch. So rather than deal with the Hyper-V switch instance on each Hyper-V host as an individual instance, we have introduced a concept in SP1 called the logical switch. So the logical switch is a management plane for the entire switch infrastructure across multiple Hyper-V hosts. So when you say that this particular switch extension is available to this logical switch, all the hosts that are bound to the logical switch will get all those extensions automatically deployed. Wow. And once you set policy on those logical switch extensions, they will be set consistently across all the individual Hyper-V hosts. So we're really trying to make it easy for the customer to administer and manage these logical switch extensions.
This whole goal of simplified management, single pane of glass,
exactly.
Take care of everything in one place.
Right.
That's great. I heard there's also a lot of storage enhancements. Can you quickly talk about those?
Oh, yes. You know, when we went back and did our research, when we spoke to a lot of service providers and customers, we recognized that, you know, storage is turning out to be one of the most expensive points in terms of a virtualization and cloud infrastructure.
Sure.
So we wanted to see how we could make it easier for customers to be able to utilize storage at a lower price point. To that effect, we have, with Windows Server 2012, now you can actually use SMB, the Windows File Server, as a share on which to host Hyper-V VMs. Now that share can be backed by, you know, Fibre Channel SANs or iSCSI SANs, or just could be a local box, or using the storage spaces capability that are there in Windows Server 2012. So it's really about giving customers the flexibility to be able to deploy their workloads on storage at different price points depending upon what SLA they required from their infrastructure. In addition to that, you know, even way back in 2012, we've been working with the industry using the SMIS standard, which allows us to actually talk to block storage using an SMIS protocol. So you can configure your storage. Once you get a pool of storage into VMM, you can configure it right from there without actually having to go back and forth with the storage team, again, making it easier for the data center administrator to provision and manage all the resources from one pane of glass.
Very nice. So taking advantage, again, all these storage capabilities in Server 2012.
Right.
Great. So what other features are there coming out in VMM 2012 SP1
sure.
that we want to highlight? Anything else before
so
we
I think,
move on
you know,
to
definitely
the
there's lots of things coming in VMM. We are definitely focusing a lot on perf and scale. We are doing some enhancements in the context of user role enhancements, so you actually can utilize your identities which are not tied to an AD domain. We have this concept of services in VMM, and a lot of customers asked us the ability to deploy those services in a DMZ environment where they did not want a trust relationship between the domain in the VM and the domain of the VMM server itself. So we're going to allow that here as well. But let me focus a little bit on, you know, all up in System Center, what we are doing to enable a whole slew of capabilities. As we did our research into service providers as well as what's happening inside enterprise IT, we're seeing sort of the enterprise IT and the service providers be broken up into two worlds. There is the provider side of the house, which is responsible for taking all the infrastructure, configuring it correctly, and making the capacity available so that the consuming side of the house can actually go consume that capacity. Even inside enterprise IT, they want to actually run the provider side of the house just as a service provider would run, with the same set of requirements for efficiencies and lowering the total cost of ownership. And one of the things we realize is that, you know, between the consuming side and the provider side, there needs to be a consistent API that is available regardless of whether you're consuming the capacity from your on-premise provider, which is an enterprise IT, or if you're buying the capacity from a service provider. So with System Center 2012 SP1, we are introducing a service provider foundation layer. If you recollect in the demo this morning, they showed application controller, you know, where they actually consumed capacity from a hoster which they named Orlando Hosting. That was all based using a technology called service provider foundation, which is a REST OData API over System Center, which allows a service provider to surface their capacity using a REST OData API. So they can build their own portals using the REST OData API, but also enable System Center customers on-premise to be able to consume capacity which has been acquired from that service provider. So this really provides the flexibility for the service provider to use multiple capabilities from System Center, provide value-added services at a lower price point to their customers. And to the customer inside the enterprise, you now have the flexibility to be able to use multi-tenant environments and be assured of isolation, but yet be able to consume the capacity from multiple different service providers, giving you the flexibility and ability to expand your data centers on an as-needed basis, however, yet being in compliance with your policies that are inside your data center.
Well, and which System Center components does this work with?
So Service Provider Foundation itself will work with the Virtual Machine Manager and with Operations Manager. But the way we've designed Service Provider Foundation is that we know that customers are going to be able to need to hook into their own third part, their own systems. And so for that, we allow the Service Provider Foundation layer to be extended.
Sounds great.
I guess this is live.
We are live. Oh, we'll wait for this. Yeah, okay, that was a quick one. Yeah. Oh, that sounds great. I mean, now, what about Operations Manager? What are some of the big new features coming out in that with Service Pack 1?
Well, the first and foremost thing is that, you know, when customers deploy applications, you know, the first thing an application owner wants to know is that, is my application as being accessed by my customer of the application, how is the application performing in that domain? Most applications today are web or intranet facing, right?
Right.
And so the ability to actually have global points of presence all over the world, which can actually target your application endpoint and tell you what is the health of the application when hit from various different points or along across the globe, is an incredibly powerful capability that we are releasing today as called GSM. I think it was demoed as a part of Jason Zander's demo in the keynote as well. In addition to that, that's all Operations Manager. In addition to that, Operations Manager is also going to allow you to monitor MVC applications and .NET services. So that's another, you know, feature ask that we've had from many, many customers. Lastly, a lot of customers have asked for deeper insight into fabric monitoring. So with between VMM and Operations Manager, you'll be able to get deeper insight into your networking and storage fabrics for the data center administrators.
So that's taking some of the network monitoring features a step further.
That's right.
And I think that's one of the big changes I've seen in Operations Manager and System Center 2012. We're no longer just checking for the availability of the application. Is it running? Is it not running? But we're really testing how well is it running?
Exactly.
What's the performance from a client side, from a server side, and from both sides with synthetic transactions.
So exactly.
A lot of nice enhancements there. Now, finally, any new big changes coming with Orchestrator and Service Manager, our service delivery and automation layer?
Well, Orchestrator is the engine behind the extensibility that's required for a Service Provider Foundation. Obviously, with Orchestrator, we'll revise all the integration packs, so they'll be able to do a lot more automation with Orchestrator. I mean, that's a fantastic tool if as a data center administrator to be able to do all sorts of automation. And then a lot of customers have asked us for the ability to have chargeback capabilities. So with Service Manager and SP1, you will now actually have the ability to have price sheets, and you'll be able to have a fairly robust chargeback solution that's available for our customers to use.
Excellent. Well, that's a great summary. Any final features you want to mention?
I'd really encourage people, we're going to have the CTP2 of System Center 2012 SP1 available later this week. It's going to be available publicly. It's going to support the Windows Server 2012 RC. Now, obviously, it's not going to have all the features that I just spoke of. It's just a CTP2. But we hope to be able to release a beta sometime in the second half of this calendar year, which will be obviously contain all of the features. But I'd encourage customers to go try out CTP2 at the end of this week. And we look forward to meeting some customers in Europe who actually played with CTP2 by then.
Will you be over in Europe?
Yes, I will be there in Europe, actually.
All right, I'll be there as well. Maybe we could chat about some more features then.
I remember when you were in Berlin and you had that great episode on the train. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yep. good times. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming. And we encourage everyone to go download the customer technology preview, the CTP2, a little later this week, perhaps early next week. And you can find that on the Server and Cloud homepage. So microsoft.com/server cloud. We'll see you soon. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.